It is a new year, blessings in the new year. This would be a good time, and traditionally is a good time, to review the past and plan for the future. Include in that consideration those things that you believe, that are important for you to believe. I would suggest that you make sure that what you believe about God is a part of that. We have an affirmation of our faith each Sunday to guide those who are in the worship with regard to their faith. We call it an affirmation of faith, although it is always from God's Word directly. And this one for today from 1 Timothy in the first chapter. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The reading of God's Word for today is from the second chapter of Matthew, the 9th through the 12th verses. This is the familiar report, which I think we've already read and discussed at some length, of the visit of the Magi to the infant Jesus. And we emphasize for today verses 9 through 12 of that report in Matthew's second chapter. After they had heard the king, that is the Magi, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I might suggest that you take some time to explore some of the astrological information that is shared in Matthew's account. The simple translation is star. Star means something specific to us in the 21st century, scientific people. Star is one of the many bodies of light we see in the sky. Simply, in the Greek language, it's a light in the sky. It was translated as star centuries ago. It may not have been a star. I invite you to explore those possibilities. But I thought I would take a moment to talk about why, for me, it's important to observe or at least remember the 12 days of Christmas, today being the 12th day of Christmas, tomorrow being the celebration of Epiphany, which is a Greek word meaning appearance, the appearance of Jesus to the wise men. First, for me as a pastor and a teacher, the events of Jesus' birth are all important, even essential, to our understanding of who Jesus is. It's too much to cram it all into one day, Christmas Eve, Christmas, the Sunday before. We all need the Sundays of Advent, the month before Christmas, the four Sundays before Christmas, and the two Sundays in Christmas, and then including Epiphany, including worship on Christmas Eve, to tell all there is to tell about Jesus' birth. That's a practical matter to me. The other reason to keep the 12 days of Christmas is because the alternative celebration to that in America is based in economic retail business. Christians can be glad that abundance rejoices at Christmas in America, But to base all of our observance and celebrations around Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, after Christmas sales, and New Year's Day sales can never be baptized as a Christian observance or a Christian celebration. If Jesus really is the reason for the season, then the faithful followers will start the first Sunday of Advent and continue through Epiphany, which is tomorrow, today being the 12th day of Christmas, to celebrate. And I desire that we celebrate the birth of the Savior, our Savior, and celebrate all the events surrounding it and celebrate that in worship. Again today we sing Christmas carols, and we sing of the wonder and the joy of our chance of salvation through Jesus, who came and lived among us, loving us where we live, loving us where we struggle, and loving us with what we struggle. Now, it might interest you to know, it might also bore you to know, it was President Abraham Lincoln who declared Christmas a national holiday. Until then, not all states observed Christmas. And since Americans had Dutch, German, Spanish, and English heritage in their backgrounds, December 25th was not a foregone conclusion as the day to celebrate Christmas. St. Nicholas Day is December 6th for many Europeans, and January 6th, so-called Three Kings Day, was the earliest church celebration of Jesus' birth in the Church of the Apostles. And Three Kings Day is still celebrated worldwide as the visit of the wise men. So December 25th has only been nationally recognized as Christmas Day for 150 years. In America, the 12 days of Christmas goes back to before King Henry VIII of England. That's over 500 years ago and longer. So when I am old-fashioned, I'm really old-fashioned. Now, I mentioned on Christmas Eve that we have another hymn that we sing here at Daleville Christian Church entitled "The King is Coming." The words of that hymn speak of the end of all things when Jesus returns. However, the words of the prophet Zechariah that we usually hear at Easter and Palm Sunday when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem are worth hearing. "Behold, your king is coming on a donkey." But it's Jesus. We celebrate at Christmas that the king is coming. "The King of Kings in human vesture," says the ancient hymn, "and royals come from the east to worship at his feet. They worship at his crib. They submit to Jesus." The representatives of the nations of Israel and Judah's neighbors bowed down to the child they called the King of the Jews. The words "submit" and "bow down" have never been popular words in America. Ever since we told King George of England to get lost, we are not going to have any royalty, and we weren't going to bow down. We won't even dip our flag at the International Olympics competition to recognize the host country flag. And you can look that up. You can Google that. However, our gospel book writer, one of the 12, Matthew, is sure to show us this moment in history, verse 11. "On coming to the house, the Magi saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him." This was part of the Magi's question about Jesus' whereabouts. They asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, Matthew in his gospel shows us four times when people worship Jesus. Luke and John only show that to us once each. Now, mostly the translations say that they worshiped Jesus. One version says they bowed down. Another says they adored him. One says that they did homage to him. But then Matthew shows us one more thing. Verse 11, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You may not remember Joseph of the many-colored coat, book of Genesis. It was Joseph of the coat of many colors who said, "Do not interpretations of dreams belong to God?" And also is quoted as saying, God has revealed to Pharaoh in a dream what he is about to do. Matthew reported that God had already revealed to Joseph, the betrothed of Mary, revealed to Joseph in a dream that he, Joseph, should indeed take Mary as his wife. And Joseph did. Also, in that same dream, Joseph was told to name the child Jesus, and Joseph did so. Matthew states about the wise men a few verses later, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Notice that the Magi had a royal request from Herod, who is the reigning and host king of Judah, to report to him, a royal request to report to him. The Magi refused to do it. You and I don't think anything of that, but that's rude. That's a snub to the reigning monarch. That's an insult. Foreigners not recognizing a royal request. The Magi refused that request. Why? Because of God. The same God who had revealed the star to them, the God whose son they worshipped, the Magi submitted to a higher power, the King of the universe. They submitted to the Lord God rather than the earthly king, Herod. Again, Americans hate that word submit. I have been asked to make sure the word submit is not a part of the marriage vows by couples getting married. Jesus does not use the word submit ever in all that he is quoted in saying. Jesus also, it should be said, does not say worship me or bow down to me. Worshipping or bowing down to Jesus is just what people did in response to Jesus. But for whatever reason, pastors and preachers still use that word submit. Jesus didn't use the word submit. So what did Jesus say? Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Jesus said it on his Sermon on the Mount. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. It sounds to me like our Lord God will be open to you if you will seek him. Jesus declared it and Jesus made it possible. The wise men, the Magi, discovered that. Now today, followers of Jesus like to repeat at the holiday time the phrase, and I couldn't discover its origin, the phrase, wise men still seek him. Meaning, of course, wise people still seek Jesus. It's kind of an inside joke, meaning, of course, the spiritually wise will seek Jesus. But the wise men were not wise in the ways of God's word and had never worshipped in the temple in Jerusalem. But God spoke to them in a way that the wise men understood. God spoke to them in the stars, in the sky. the lights in the sky. And the wisdom of the Magi would be this. Once God had shown them something, they went after it. James' letter says all this better. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Or Hebrews chapter 11. Our God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. The letter to the Ephesians makes it clear that Jesus, whose birth we celebrate, Jesus makes it possible, Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus and His blood for you who were once far away. That's us. We Gentiles. The Jews were already near to God because of God's word and the temple. And the Jews also can now draw near, but only through Jesus. They can get nearer only through Jesus. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Although we can't be certain where the Magi came from, and not necessarily all from the same country of origin, because there was a lot of exchange of populations through the wars and resettlements. The wise men were literally and geographically far away from Judah and the city of Jerusalem, but they came near through following the light they had been shown in the sky that declared a new born king of the Jews. Jesus said, seek. Seek and you will find. The Bible uses the phrase, seek the Lord, over 50 times in the Old Testament. Even all the way back into Deuteronomy chapter 4. Seek the Lord your God. You will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. The book of Acts quotes the prophet Amos when Amos said, the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name. So yes, even us, the Gentiles, represented in the wise men, the Magi, who come from a distant land, they're not Jewish. They're Gentiles. They come near. They seek the Lord. They were brought near. And they would be brought near by the blood of Jesus. Even though you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus, you may feel distant from God. You may feel that the Lord has distanced Himself from you. Or maybe you have distanced yourself from the Lord. The words would be the same to you. Seek Him. Seek the Lord. You may seek our Lord. Jesus made it possible. Draw near to our God, and our God will draw near to you. Obey the Lord. Jesus didn't use that word. Jesus said, ask of our God. Seek the Lord. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Amen.